Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, sheriffs who are meeting in Washington, D.C. asked for the traffic app Waze to disable a popular feature. It locates police on roadways. Sheriffs are concerned it leaves officers open to being targeted. The man who shot and killed two New York police officers last month posted a screenshot from Waze on his Instagram account. Meanwhile, after months of study and a meeting last week, police chiefs and mayors are calling for improvements in community policing. Karen Freeman Wilson is mayor of Gary, Indiana. She chaired the U.S. Conference of Mayors working group of mayors and police chiefs, and she joins us from Gary. Mayor, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, let me start by just defining the terms here. What does community policing mean to you?
For me, community policing means a way that law enforcement engages the community not just when there is a crisis, but in their daily duties and in the day-to-day activities of law enforcement. So it is creating a connection. It's creating a relationship with members of the community, particularly the law-abiding citizens, so that when an incident occurs, they will have a connection that will give citizens the confidence that if they provide information, that it will be acted upon and that it will be held confidentially. It also gives citizens the confidence that when there is a crisis such as a police-involved death, that because the pre-existing relationship exists, they know that it will be investigated in a manner that will give, again, the community comfort in knowing that anyone that has done wrong, if it's found to be a wrongful shooting, will be addressed.
And how common is this around the country at this point?
The practice of community-oriented policing is very common. And in fact, increasingly, police departments are training, are encouraging all of their officers. And what you're seeing is that initially there was a program. It was called the COPS program, community-oriented policing. You would have one or two or maybe three or four officers whose job it was to go into the community and connect with citizens. Now, police departments, large and small, are understanding that that has to be the normal protocol, that people are wanting to have relationships with the police department that is not necessarily related to a call, and that it benefits officers to have a connection to the community that supersedes any specific law enforcement activity.
Can it work, though, in an era of budget cuts, in an era where police departments and cities in general have had to cut back because of the economy?
In fact, it can work in an era of tighter budgets. Tighter budgets should really drive more departments to engage in community-oriented policing because you don't have as many officers on the street. You don't have some of the resources that you have traditionally had. So it's important that you have a relationship with the law-abiding members of the community. It's important that there is a connection that would cause people to call the police when there is a problem. So I think that the tighter budgets really make the case for the importance of community-oriented policing.
Mayor Freeman Wilson, I want to play a little bit of tape from a segment on 60 Minutes on CBS last night. They were looking into this very issue in Cleveland, where the police department has been under federal investigation. The police there had shot and killed a 12-year-old Tamir Rice, who was carrying and playing with a toy gun. And CBS correspondent Bill Whitaker took two white police officers to a community center to interact with folks there. Let's listen.
What is the perception of the police?
In this neighborhood, it's not that good.
Some people get that badge on their chest and they think they become Superman. They got a right to take on the world.
How do you differentiate these kids from the ones you call the bad guys?
One of the things is probably a smile and a wave and how you doing, officer, instead of spitting.
So you hear there these officers who, by the way, completely agree with your idea that there be more interaction just on a regular basis between police and the members of the community that they are policing. But as you can hear there, many of the residents don't feel that kind of trust that you're talking about with the police force.
Well, and we saw that in the Zogby poll that was conducted by the U.S. Conference of Mayors. There is a gap in the confidence that African-Americans have in police officers versus Latinos and Caucasian citizens. But what we do understand is that the overwhelming majority of all citizens do trust police officers. And I think what people often forget, and I learned this as a deputy prosecutor a long, long time ago, is that as a rule, African-Americans tend to be more law and order than a lot of people think. And so we want the police to, in fact, engage in our communities. We count on that to happen. It's a matter of how it happens and the approach that they take. I think it also goes to recruiting. It also goes to training. And it also goes to discipline of officers. And so that's an important aspect of our findings and an important aspect of really addressing the concerns in the community.
What did police chiefs in your working group have to say about all this?
Well, police chiefs in our working group, and, you know, we had veteran police chiefs and commissioners like Commissioner Ramsey out of Philadelphia, they wanted to really emphasize the fact that community policing can't be a program. It can't be one or two officers. It really does have to be a way of doing business in your department. And that's what they emphasized more than anything. They did also emphasize, and we agreed with them wholeheartedly, is that the work has to be done prior to the crises, because, you know, they are making life or death decisions. And just as the community has to have a level of confidence that the police will engage in their duties of protecting and serving in a constitutional manner, the families of these police officers have the right to expect that when they leave every morning or every evening or whenever their shift starts, that they will come back through the door at the end of that shift.
That's Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson of Gary, Indiana. She chaired the U.S. Conference of Mayors Working Group of Mayors and Police Chiefs. We'll link you to more from that working group at our website, hereandnow.org. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.